Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we offer practical, real-life tips and inspiration to help you make your best things. From decorating and gardening advice to entertaining and home repair how-tos, It's a Thing can show you how. Thanks for joining us.
Is it just pattern recognition that every mission statement seems to apply perfectly to the show?
I guess the question we should probably be asking is whether every mission statement applies perfectly to everything.
But decorating, but gardening advice, good. Entertaining, maybe home repair how-tos went a little afield for us, but yeah. Maybe.
But I think we did an episode about how you can learn how to do anything on YouTube.
Right? So, arguably, it's not that far.
Yeah. Didn't we think about how-tos? If not, we should have.
That is our intro. This today was based on the mission statement of thespruce.com.
That's right. Our favorite verification source, or at least mine, because it frequently applies to things that are my things.
I consider it the wire cutter of other stuff.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, indeed. And I believe, depending on, I think your first thing could show up there.
I could
see it.
I think it would. I think it could. I think it might. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I found it. My link is from theveganreview.com. That gives you a hint where we're headed. Date syrup. And no, this is not a Bumble thing. This is the fruit date. But also other honey replacements. They've been growing in popularity and being promoted by Whole Foods as a healthy alternative to honey, which is perfectly healthy, but I digress.
But it's not vegan. It's
that not never vegan. Stopped anyone. True, it's not vegan. So if you're vegan, then date syrup would be something important to be like, yeah, I don't want anything that even has insects involved in it. That's fair. But Whole Foods is kind of like slathering on a patina of like, you should switch if you're switching to date syrup for your health. And I'm like, okay.
That's silly.
Yeah. But people are trying out all kinds of replacements for honey. And it is one of those things, kind of like gluten-free stuff, where it starts with a real reason. In this case, like, I'm a vegan and I don't want to use honey that's produced by bees. But a lot of other people are jumping on and saying, oh, this is tasty, or this is good, or I want to try it.
I love it. I mean, honestly, I would try it. Like, it sounds delicious. And as this article points out, commercial honey production is pretty terrible on bees, which are in a lot of trouble. So like, I like a lot of things about this, even though I have never heard of it. And I expect to start seeing it everywhere now. I bet I will.
It feels like it's ripe for a Bader Meinhof moment for many people in our audience, including
totally
where you're going to go to the Gelson's or the Whole Foods or the snooty grocery store the next time and be like, oh, agave syrup, date syrup. Oh yeah. It's all over the place.
100%. That's so interesting. So there's agave, date, apparently all kinds of other ones, dandelion syrup,
maple syrup as a replacement for honey.
I was like, honey.
Oh, genius.
Yeah. Duh. Right. Of course, just from trees. Fascinating.
Yeah. Especially really if you're not getting a maple syrup, that's meant like I wouldn't use a dark maple syrup necessarily, but something that's a little like, doesn't have like the really maple-y flavor. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, could be totally delicious. Yeah, I'm compelled. I want to try date syrup. I really like dates as a sweetener in general. Like, I've made date cakes and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're good.
I've dates in baked goods are always good. So yeah, this makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a very hardy plant. Like, there's lots of like date plants. You can grow them in kind of desert environments and stuff.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. You're right. It's possibly more sustainable because it's not a water intensive crop.
Right.
Could be.
I would hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. That makes sense. Cause dates grow in the desert. Yeah. Like you said.
like by Palm Springs and stuff. So I'm going to take us in just like a dramatically different direction. So where we were previously talking about veganism and shopping at Whole Foods and putting dates in baking, now I'm just going to talk about slap fighting.
Wait a minute. Do you mean like people slapping each other? Yes.
Apparently.
Like just on the street, people like getting angry and slapping.
It's like a little pseudo freaking sport, and people start doing it. Oh, it's insane!
Wait,
like,
pro slap fighting?
Well, now they're adding it to the UFC.
Oh,
it has become such a thing. I literally just found out about it, and then like 3 days later, like on November 11th, I see this article about how the UFC is creating the Power Slap League.
The SFC is the Slap Fighting Championship.
Slap fighting!
Oh my gosh.
This is the stupidest, most dangerous. Like, it came up on a walk, and a friend of mine was like, oh yeah, I know my friend, I was at a party, and my friend is an ER doc, and was saying, like, I keep having, like, young men and women come in with like inner ear injuries and like brain injuries, because what they do is they get into like a power stance and they like straight arm, like go back and forth a couple times to build up some power and just slap.
Okay. I'm not gonna lie. My first reaction of like, do you mean people slapping in the street, was very obviously you know, me playing dumb for the bit. But everything after that was a genuine reaction, because I had not looked at this. That's crazy.
It's crazy. It is literally the dumbest, most dangerous. I mean, this article is like, it would seem that this sport is designed specifically to concuss its contestants.
Right? Like, okay, I'm shocked that we didn't have this before, because anything humans do, they turn into a competition, or some of us do, right?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that this is in its earliest days means it is in its scariest phase, right? People used to play full-on rugby, not even NFL, rugby without helmets. Where you're like allowed to throw people down. Rugby's solution was to put in more rules about throwing people down and hitting them. The NFL just armored everyone up, but eventually everybody dealt with it one way or another. Like, this is like the Wild West. You're just standing there getting slapped.
Horrible. You just stand there and get slapped. Here's this piece from n.as.com, which I think is like some, like a sports news site based in Qatar, maybe. A few things are certain here, is the last paragraph. First, slap fighting is not a valid sport. Second, slap fighting is insanely popular. And third, Dana White and the UFC will make a ton of money from it. And in the end, that is all that will matter.
You know, I'm going to argue that first one. I think it might be a valid sport. You can make a sport out of anything. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Well, yeah.
But
if you can compete.
Yeah.
And you just slap each other in the face until somebody falls down. One person's already died.
Oh my God.
After competing in a slap fighting gala.
I mean,
where I assume he competed multiple times over the, I mean, this is like the most insane, like people cannot, this is how Asimov's third law comes to pass, because like people cannot be saved from themselves. Slap fighting.
This is a gift. All right. This is how I'm going to look at it. This is a gift, because we live in a heavily regulated time. We as humans have learned to communicate and interact so much, and we've shared so much information, that we have had few things left to discover for us to do. There was a time when boxing was just people wailing on each other. And over time, it got genteeled, and boxing gloves came along and rules about hitting the head. It is rare. It is rare in the 21st century to come across a piece of human behavior that is in its infancy. And I'm going to call it, in 20 years, there will be Olympic slap fighting, and there'll be headgear and rules about, he violated the 180 degree plane rule. That's dangerous. Yeah, people died in the early days of slap fighting from that kind of, like, that's all going to happen. Because people, the fact that it's popular, people are like, yeah, but all I know it's dangerous, but also it's really fun to watch.
I mean, it's just literally like, your basest instincts about entertainment.
Yes.
Like dumb, tan, ripped people, like slapping each other in the face. It's unbelievable.
I can't
Humanity believe this, never fails.
I'm not going to lie. This may be among your top five best things you've ever brought to the show. I think
it legit might be.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I don't know if I've ever come up with
this
a better
really,
thing. Like,
this is really good.
Incredible.
Yeah. I was not expecting professional sport. When I saw the words slap fighting in the doc, that's not where I thought we were going. That's incredible. Yeah.
Slap fighting. I love this article too. I just put this in the Discord because the article was like, imagine a 4-year-old invented the rules for a combat sport. Whatever you have in your head, you're probably not far away from the reality.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, wow.
It's going to evolve. That's my guess, is that they'll start putting in the rules because people are like, yeah, that is dangerous, but we still want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yep.
Well, if you, and I'm sure there are many of you out there who are like, this sounds awful, slap fighting, how barbaric, I want nothing to do with it. I just want to sit and enjoy my book. And how do I make that book, that physical book, that piece of printed material better? And the answer, my friends, is alternate book jackets. There is, go to Etsy and look, a whole culture of alternate book jackets to make that set of books look the way you want them to look on the shelf. Make them look the way you want them to look in your hands as you sit at the coffee shop, staring across the long table in your cappuccino at the other person who happens to be watching slap fighting on their phone. No, this is a cool thing. And I heard about this. I got to give full credit to Reading Glasses, the Reading Glasses podcast, because they did a whole segment on it on their show this week. But there's a whole culture around this. Where some people just say, like, I don't really like the way these look from the publisher, or like in Harry Potter's case, I have different versions that had different jackets over time because I didn't buy them all at the same time. So I want a uniform on them. Some people are like, I mean, it's an Isaac Asimov book that I just bought brand new, but I want it to have the first edition cover because that looks cool.
Right.
And then there's even people who are like, yeah, I'm reading Harry Potter, but I want people to think I'm reading Foucault, so I'm going to put a different jacket around it. There's tons of reasons for this. Most of them do have to do with style, where people are like, the default jacket that comes with the book doesn't really look right to me. I want to have like a different aesthetic on my shelf.
Yeah, I just found these ones on Etsy that are a set of 7 minimalistic Harry Potter
dust jackets
that are beautiful.
Yeah.
Like really this is so interesting too, because it's the evolution of like when you used to put a quilted cover.
Uh-huh.
If you were, for example, a middle-aged lady on an airplane, you'd put a quilted cover because you didn't want to mess up your dust jacket,
right?
Or more likely because it was like a romance. They got hugely popular during that 50 Shades of Grey period that we all went through together, the wars. But then at some point people must have realized, like, oh, here's some like leather bound dragon covers that are just like fantasy heaven.
Yeah. And there's the Etsy thing is where you follow the people who make really cool stuff and you're like, oh, I like their designs, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring that in. But yeah, there's a whole subculture around this, and it has very little to do with protecting the book.
Right. That's
It's really about design in this case.
Yeah, I love that. What a great evolution. And bless people for still reading books.
And you know what? I was about to say that, Saray. Saray said, I made alternate book jackets for my mom when I could only afford to give her an inexpensive book for Christmas. Aww. A way to help a good gift idea is what I guess where I'm going like that. Whether it's doing what Saray did, which is really sweet, or even just giving people the jackets to put on the books they already have, you know, to gussy up their shelves.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And Joe pointed out this goes with the color-coded bookshelves thing.
Oh my God, it totally does. That is so smart. Oh, this is incredible. I also am kind of obsessed with these leather-bound dragon ones, and I sort of want to get them for my niece because she's just
really
like
sweet.
A little bit goth. Oh, incredible. Well, I rue the day that my niece gets old enough to try whatever the current trend is of doing weird things to your face. And the latest version of that is bleached eyebrows.
Oh, that's a, are we, I mean, not bleached eyebrows, not a new thing, but you're saying
but it's huge right
they're,
now.
They're blowing up.
They're blowing up right now.
Bleached eyebrows are, as I call them, stealth eyebrows, because you can't see them anymore because you bleached them.
Can't see them anymore because you bleached them. And they're kind of they're grunge. Like, this is a 90s return thing. But right now, for whatever reason, it's just completely Kendall Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Cara Delevingne, Precious Lee, and Bella Hadid. And then I knew that it was really a thing right now when I saw that Julia Fox had it. Julia Fox, of course, of Uncut Gems fame, who is becoming a high. Remember that brief period where Cardi B was like a really unexpectedly trenchant social commentator?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Julia Fox now.
She really likes presidential history. Yeah. Julia Fox has a message for the beauty industry. Stop marketing skincare as anti-aging.
Yeah. So there she is with her like bleached eyebrows and no other makeup. And she's like, aging is fully in, like fully. I mean, that video by itself was a thing and it's fantastic. And it's been written about a million different ways and it's great. But more importantly, I was like, holy crap. She has the bleached eyebrows. And it's everywhere. And the gray hair.
Like the dyed gray, like the thing that you were on a while back.
Yeah.
The silver
dye
hair.
Dye your hair gray.
Yeah.
Totally.
Uh-huh.
So my son has a friend who bleached her eyebrows. And this is before I realized that it was like spreading everywhere. I didn't know. And she like came in and I was like, ah, which you should never do to a teenage girl. That was not the right response.
That's hard though.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But it can be startling looking. Can be startling. You really got to go all the way with the bleach. Because if you have like a little bit of the, if it's not all the way bleached, it's a little upsetting, kind of. Anyway, it's
is
like
there a step where that just goes to shaved eyebrows, or are those unconnected?
I don't know. Maybe that's next.
Yeah,
because you would almost have to shave them, I guess, to get back. Because otherwise, you're going to have ombre. You're going to have eyebrow roots.
Oh yeah,
how do the eyebrow roots?
No, that's a fascinating question because eyebrow hair does just kind of fall out over time.
Yeah,
does it get all peppery? After a while, and you have to dye it back to brown or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, this is a bold one, but it's it's really, it was apparently a big, big one in 2021, but I feel like it's just all of a sudden that was like maybe only the models. It has not slowed down. Maybe it's that it's rolling into the actual like social set of normal everyday teenagers as opposed to like models doing it.
Sure. Sure, that makes
plus,
sense.
Plus, I'm sorry. Whatever Julia Fox is doing right this second is the biggest thing there is. Full stop.
Yeah, for the time being, she is a nexus, a thing nexus.
Is a nexus fully.
Also, every one of you are a nexus just by listening to this show. But if you want to like raise your game to like a Julia Fox level, you send us an email spotting a thing, and that's exactly what Landon did on Retro Futurism. Hi, Tom, Molly, and producer Rich. I've been obsessed with anything retrofuturism since I was a teen, years ago now, so I'm feeling seen now that it has finally become a thing. You might have fun looking up specific retrofuturistic aesthetics. Most people know steampunk and cyberpunk, but there seems to be no end to the list of punks. Candlepunk, atompunk, raypunk, afropunk, teslapunk, and my favorites, dieselpunk and decopunk. All seem to fall under the retro futurism umbrella. Anyway, I enjoy the show and I always look forward to the next one as soon as I've finished listening. Thank you, Landon.
I mean, can we call ourselves Thing Punk?
Ooh, we will. Yes.
Are we starting
now? Yeah. The only one that he didn't mention that I know of, but I don't think it counts as retro futurism, so that's probably why Landon didn't mention it, is Elf Punk is a style of sci-fi.
Oh my God. That's actually awesome. Yeah. And I would imagine art. There must be a ton.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
Art out there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Amber in North Texas wrote in, subject line, free will is a myth. Producer's note, strong start. And Amber says, hi, the three thingsketeers. How is this taking so long? That's wonderful.
That's lovely.
Every time she says, I'm going innocently about my week, feeling individualistic and unique. It's a thing comes sprinting in to yank me back down to reality. Last week, I was listening on my earbuds while working and looked down at the sneaker sesh during the sneaker sesh at the all white Air Force Ones that both my assistant and I were wearing. Today, I was driving home from work still feeling slightly ill from the sheer volume of chips and elote I consumed for lunch and decided to catch up on this week's episode. Thank you for reminding me that free will does not exist and my actions are in fact ruled by the oppressive thing overlords. If you'll excuse me, I have to shop for ramen noodles. Thanks for all you do.
I am imagining Amber with the alternate book jacket and bleached eyebrows.
I mean, if you're rocking the all white Air Force ones, the bleached eyebrows are just a hop skip
with
away.
The date syruped sweetened latte and some slap fighting up on the TV.
And you are the most interesting person in the world.
Definitely. Mina wrote in with some seaweed thoughts. Hi, Tom and Molly. I recently discovered your podcast and it brings me so much joy. So thank you. Last week, I tried Korean style fried seaweed for the first time and now I'm obsessed. I try to avoid fried foods, but this is too delicious not to try once in a while. The version I tried is called Pasakgim Kimbogak, and I found it at my local Korean grocery store for $2.99. Attached is a picture of the bag. Notice the auntie wearing the bright floral outfit. I trust her completely to run a mean kitchen. H Mart has a couple of different versions online, but I haven't tried them yet.
I just want you guys to know that Tom totally read that. That was written in Korean. The name.
Oh, the Hangul.
Tom read
it. Yeah. Duolingo's paying off. I'm not sure if I got it exactly right, but it was close enough.
I don't care. I'm hella impressed. And thank goodness you read that one because I was going to be like, it's called this or that. Amazing. Mink sent in a note for producer Rich, but it's good for everyone. The unreasonably good callouts in this episode of It's a Thing, where Tom Merritt was a character, reminded me that there's a novel where Molly Wood is a character. There's also a movie extant where Halle Berry plays Molly Woods. Judge's ruling, if that's close enough.
Sure.
In the book/movie The Virginian, which, yes, I have totally read, they describe Molly Wood as, quote, a young woman from Vermont who moves to Wyoming to become a school teacher. Molly is educated and enjoys working with children. Literally past me, I'm sure. In a past life. Just had to share since Tom's name came up. I hope I'm not spoiling a surprise Rich had already planned. Also, Merritt Properties owns a bunch of business park style buildings around and outside of Baltimore. So I see the name plastered around an unreasonable amount. How much money are you all making from It's a Thing? And can you get into real estate with it? I kid. I look forward to one day throwing money at you for all this glorious nonsense.
Thank you, Mink. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Molly Wood, a young woman from Montana who moves to California to become a journalist and enjoys working with children.
Right? Like, it's not that far apart.
Yeah. No, I mean, one, it's just a Vermont to Wyoming is the Montana to California of the time the Virginian is set in, really.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. The Merritt Properties thing makes me think of Lake Merritt in Oakland. And when I lived near Lake Merritt in Oakland, my cousin came to visit and just could not stop laughing at all the things named Merritt in the neighborhood. And she was like, this must just crack you up all the time. I'm like, I kind of got used to it.
But you pretty much had to move here. Seriously, Merritt Bakery. Yeah,
everywhere. Yep. The Baltimore stuff, too. Like the Merritt family origins in the United States mostly came from Thomas Merritt, who came to Maryland. And then to Connecticut. So it's probably a swath of Merritts that I'm distantly related to back there.
Oh, I love it. All right. Let's see. We got one more here.
Oh, Harish. Harish wants to create a thing. Hey, Tom, Molly, and Rich. Just listened to your show about ikigai and thought if we're making up Japanese words, which, by the way, it's not a made-up word, just not a very popular word. But anyway, Harish says, if we're making up Japanese words and making them a thing anyway, why not one of our own? I give you tomori, which I didn't check to see if it's a real word. And if it is, if it's offensive, so our apologies, but it's T-O-M-O-R-I for Tom, Molly, and Rich. Definition, the quiet satisfaction of knowing a thing before your friends and family. Usage, man, I've seen those shows everywhere these days, said John. Tom smiled, feeling a sense of tomery, and said, oh, those are Hukka Clifton 8s. Yep, they're all the rage now. and then adds, can't wait for the book and the HuffPo article about it from you guys. Love the show.
Exactly. I only was able to find tomori as in Tomori now is a cool yet adorable girl who wears her platinum blonde silver hair and two tails up. She can be a little rude, but also very kind.
That's great. I love being
I'll take it.
To that. That's awesome.
Exactly. Oh my God, that's incredible. You guys are the best, and you continue to be and help us create the best part of the show, the shout outs. Thank my you goodness. For supporting us at the shout out level, patreon.com/itsathing at any level, but particularly the shout out level, which allows us to bring you custom crafted courtesy of the rich in Tomori.
Yes. If you are a patron at the top shout out level at patreon.com/itsathing, your shout out today will not be like other shows where they're just say your name and thanks. It will be based on Steve Jobs' April 2010 blog post, Thoughts on Flash.
Okay, this is already incredible. Wow. All right. I'll begin. Andrew Bradley was created during the Kevin Sill era for PCs and mice. Flash is a successful business for Lee Price, and we can understand why he wants to push it beyond Laura Abel. But the Benjamin Forrest era is about low-power Gabriel Cohen, touch interfaces, and open Jake Wood standards, all areas where Morris Jones falls short.
The avalanche of media outlets offering their content for Eric Duncan demonstrates that Miranda Janelle is no longer necessary to watch video or consume any kind of Joe Hood. New open standards created in the mobile era, such as Louis St. Amour, LSTA5, will win on mobile devices. Perhaps James C. Smith should focus more on creating great tools for the future and less on criticizing Mike Akins for leaving the past behind. I think you're going to love it.
I was hoping you would go there. That's some spicy Jobs right there.
Yeah, it is.
Dang. Wow.
Perhaps Adobe should. Yeah, right?
Right?
No kidding.
We can see why Adobe would want to push it or whatever, but.
But we're all about open standards until we're not.
Too. Oh, my God. This is going to devolve into the other show. Tom and I are literally time traveling right now. We're about
seriously. Yeah.
I wonder if we actually read this on the show. Bravo, Rich. That was a deep pull. And bravo to all of we had to have.
Yeah.
Bravo to those of you who keep this show on the airwaves, if you will, week after week. Everybody who supports us at patreon.com/itsathing. We are so grateful because this is the best part of the week.
You can also email us your things. We just heard a bunch of great ones. Could be yours next. feedback@itsathing.me.
That's right. See you next week.
Bye, everybody. Give it to me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.